Well, I have fundamental ideological problems with teenage social rituals that basically do nothing but exacerbate fears of total insecurity and inferiority over one's appearance while frenetically exploiting, and I must hasten to add, distorting, the feminine ideal. I mean, an act which reaches its apogee with the election of the Spring Queen.
Was that a yes or a no?
What was the question?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 21, Spring Dance. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
But before we begin...
Yes, a penultimate reminder that beginning with season 2 episodes of this year podcast, we will be switching to the new feed. So if you're on iTunes, don't worry about it. If you're on a podcatcher app, you want to unsubscribe and resubscribe either by using that app search function to find Again With This and resubscribe, or you can manually enter our RRRRRS feed. And you can find that by going to previously.tv/feedme, which will send you to a page with all the information. That's it.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Are you ready to talk about the spring dance?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it. Oh.
Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, now I'm ready.
All right, so we have just one really an A/only story this week. It's all spring dance all the time. The first thing in the visual aids, though, is a girl in a band uniform with like a cheerleader skirt making no sense. I guess maybe she's a majorette, but anyway, she's in the B-roll in the opening credits. I'm sure this is at least the second, if not more, time we've seen her. So I'm going to start clipping her every time that she comes up because it's definitely going to happen again. That's all. Moving on. We open up in the hallway where Steve is gross in clip number 2.
Oh, Brandon, spring is in the air and it is driving me crazy. You smell that?
What?
That sweet, overripe flower scent? Oh, nature's doing its thing and it's turning me into a total dog.
Damn, boy.
Oh, put me on a leash.
Oh.
Who is that?
That is Darla Diller. Haven't you seen her before?
I think I'd recall.
She's only the hottest babe at West Beverly. She gives me this look every time I drive by her in my vet.
Darla!
Hi.
Hi.
She doesn't know it yet, but I'm gonna ask her to the spring dance. Good luck, buddy.
It's in the bag. Besides, I hear she's got this thing for me. Brandon, I already made a room reservation.
What are you talking about?
The hotel. The hotel where they're holding the dance, Brandon?
Yeah.
Well, the dance is only an excuse to grab a room.
No kidding.
No kidding!
How can I describe Darla? She's a gorgeous Twin Peaksy blonde because it is, in fact, Janine from the Roger Zarian episode from the fantasies about his screenplay. So, yeah, that's her.
I believe this actress is Sharon Case, who
Correct.
Is a longtime Young and the Restless mm-hmm. actress. And she's wearing a, sort of bandeau-shouldered floral event horizon over black tights in the spring in Los Angeles. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Black tights, which I don't think I ever saw anyone wear when I lived there. Anyway, so Steve is gross. Got it. Kelly then gets nominated for Spring Princess along with three other girls that we have no idea who they are. So obviously, spoiler alert, Kelly's going to win because it's not one of the stories where she's in conflict with someone that we actually know. And then Brandon goes to the Blaze office. We hear that crazy clip that we opened us up where Andrea is like mincing around the subject of whether he's going to go to the dance. He says he's not going to, and she's happy because he agrees to do something else that night. But apparently this was a plan that was a long time in the making, as we hear in clip number 3.
So did he ask you?
No. At least I don't think so.
Well, did you ask him?
No.
Why not? Andrea, there's nothing wrong with a girl asking a guy out.
I know. I guess school dances really aren't my scene.
I mean, Brandon might come over that night. You know, we might just hang out, watch a movie together.
Hmm.
But thanks for your help. I guess the truth is, if he really wanted to ask me, he would have asked me.
This is
yeah. So get over it. No, it's not happening.
Yeah, this is something that comes up in the next episode too, which we will get to, of course. But of Andrea having conversations with other girls in the cast about Brandon that all happen off screen. Like, obviously, she and Brandon discussed this and, like, you know, do I want them to get together? Not particularly, but I would have wanted to find out, like, just the mechanics or the logistics or whatever of how she negotiated that. Because it's not like she and Brenda are super close friends. And also, it's weird. Like, let's talk about me dating your brother. But whatever.
Yeah. And I would rather see scenes of them, like, getting to be more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, slumber party episode-esque. Like, it's like after that, she just got sort of jumped into the gang in a way.
Yep.
But I would rather see that happening than, for example, David Silver electric sliding his brains out for like 20 years, but we'll get to that.
So much of it. Oh my God.
Unfortunately.
Somewhere in between there also, Steve asks out Darla and she negs him because she doesn't do Corvettes. And then Kelly goes to find Brandon at the Peach Pit because she has a proposition in clip number 4.
Brandon, do you have a date for the dance?
Nope.
Neither do I.
You're kidding. You don't have a date?
You don't have to broadcast it.
I don't get it. Dating's your life, isn't it?
I know it is. But out of all the cute guys at Beverly or West Beverly, I've either dated them and never want to see them again, or they're taken. All the cute guys except you.
Well, thanks for the compliment.
So?
So?
So, come on. It'll be great.
Oh, I don't know, Kelly. I mean, I wasn't even planning on going. Rented suits and dancing.
I know. Brandon, I promise you we'll have fun. I will show you a really good time.
Kelly, what are you doing here?
None of your business.
Well, you're just the person I was looking for.
Oh, is that so?
Well, I heard you're kind of dateless for the spring fling.
Then I guess you heard wrong.
Who are you going with?
Brandon.
Brandon who? Brandon Walsh. I thought you said you weren't
done.
I asked him.
I didn't think you'd mind, man, since you were going with Darla.
Well, I'm not.
Steve, Donna doesn't have a date.
Oh, great. That makes two of us then.
Well, come on, man. Why don't you ask her? We'll all go together as friends. It'll be cool.
Is that how you guys are going, as friends?
Well, we're not going as enemies.
Come on, man. Why don't you ask her? What can it hurt, huh?
Okay. I'll ask her, but as long as she doesn't expect it.
You should be so lucky.
Come on, man. Prize around me.
Brandon, call me. We have tons of details to discuss.
Okay.
Poor, first of all, lucky Donna that she gets to have the scraps of the only other person in the gang who doesn't have a date. So whatever.
And then that asking scene, which we did not clip because why, is just so needlessly awkward. Mm-hmm. And like, the show tends to forget that all these people are supposed to have known each other since they were 5.
Yeah.
Whenever it's convenient.
But it would not, yes, if this were a real group of friends, like, it would not be a big deal to be like, hey, I'll be your date of record, meaning I will buy you a corsage, but otherwise we're all going together. Like, that's how it was.
Yeah.
People weren't boyfriend, girlfriend, but whatever. The other thing that's funny to me in that clip is that Brandon's like, dating is your life. She's like, I know. When we have seen her go on 0 dates this entire season, like, it's just another.
And I'd sort of. Yeah, you're totally right. And I like this version of Kelly, who's like sort of unapologetically free.
Totally. Yes.
And, you know, it does start to, like, as she turns into St. Kelly as the show unfolds, then it does start to get pulled back to, like, whatever. I'm mm-hmm. only going to kiss or have sex with people I really love. Which is like, I don't know. It's so much more interesting. Which is like, I dated everyone already.
Yeah.
You? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Totally. And it's like, there's tons of points in the episode in this season where we've heard about like people that she dated or had sex with like prior to the start of the season, but
including Roger Azarian, Killer Chandler.
I know. Anyway, so the next day at school, Kelly is full of bubbly plans about the date. She wants to pay for almost everything because she asked him, except he would have to pay for his suit, her orchid wrist corsage, she specifies, and a limo, which is not cheap. And he's like, oh, and then she's like, oh, that's okay. I thought Dylan was going to take it. Like, it's a total non-issue. I don't know why it even comes up. But then in the hall, they run into Andrea. She very nicely compliments Kelly on being nominated for Spring Princess. And then Brandon has to answer her question about when he's going to come over on Saturday by saying, oh, whoops, I'm going with Kelly now. And Kelly grabs him and goes, don't we make a great couple? Andrea dies inside. Yes, there is a gif. And it's the longest act out ever. I could have held on her sad face for like easily 10 more seconds. It takes forever. So then the next scene is Andrea is moping around the Blaze office so much that even Brandon Insensitivo has to ask her about it in clip number 5.
I don't understand this. I thought you said you didn't want to go to the dance.
Yeah, well, I thought you said you didn't want to go either.
I'm doing this as a favor.
How charitable of you.
Andrea, she asked me to go. What was I supposed to say?
Right. I mean, what could you say to one of the most gorgeous girls in the entire school?
Why are you so mad at me?
Please. Like, don't flatter yourself. Look, you told me that you could have the kickboxing story in by lunch. Can I still count on that, or should I slot something else in?
Sure. You'll have it.
Oh, Sarah, your favorite, the baby voice.
Oh. First of all, slot in a Hitachi magic wand, Andrea. Two of them. Do it today. But in her sort of defense, he's mm-hmm. like, what was I supposed to say? Like, that you already made other plans with your friend?
Yeah. Yes.
And you have to ask if it's okay with her? Like, Andrea is very frustrating with this ongoing Brandon issue because, like, she can't control her feelings, and I get it. He doesn't like her that way, and she's sad. But on the other hand, like, he just doesn't get it and doesn't treat her like a friend, mm-hmm. even, much less like a prospective girlfriend, which, like, that's fine, but at least be polite.
Yeah. Ugh. I totally hear you, but, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, in Brandon's slight defense, she also could have just asked him to go to the dance, even as friends, and she didn't even do that. She would, like, just nibbled around the edges of whether he might be interested in going without actually being like, well, I'm going to go. Do you want to come with me? And actually taking the bull by the horns. But she's insecure.
Oh, no. That is true. Totally passive aggressive. Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons that I kind of like this episode, because it has a lot of teenagers acting like actual teenagers as opposed to like saintly Dawson's Creek teenagers. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people do shitty things in very realistic ways. So, I mean, the thing about Donna and Steve aside, which is kind of dumb, everything else kind of rings true, I think. So anyway, moving on. Brandon has to go and try on tuxedos now. And so there's discussion of what's going to happen from the dude's point of view from behind the saloon door, dressing room doors, little bow ties painted onto the wood in clip number 6.
So guys, what do you think? Methinks thou art style.
Not bad. Not bad.
Sure cost enough to rent these babies.
Come on, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Got to figure
dinner, corsage, limo, hotel room. What we're looking at?
$500.
Oh, geez, for that much money, you could be spending an evening with the finest call girl in LA.
No kidding.
Gentlemen, the issue here is honor. You can't cancel.
That's easy for you to say. You're going to spend most of it in a hotel room with Brenda.
Is that true?
Told you, man, I don't talk about that stuff.
Good, let's keep it that way. Brian, aren't you planning on renting a room with Kelly?
Steve, we're just going as friends. You know that.
Yeah, we'll see about that. She's got a thing for you, Brandon. She's used to getting what she wants.
Ooh. Meanwhile, the girls are shopping on Rodeo Drive, and there is a disaster in clip number 7.
I have to find something fabulously hip. I need something fabulously sexy. Something incredible. Something affordable.
No.
No. Gross. Grosser. Grossest. This is it!
Oh my god.
I found it! Let me see.
It's the same dress that was on two different racks.
Oh, what are we gonna do?
Actually, it's tacky. No wonder. Look at the price. It's a cheap knockoff of the real thing.
You think?
Absolutely. You can have it. If you want. No, you can have it. I wouldn't wear it.
That's so bitchy. I wouldn't wear it. Like, it's good enough for you, but not for me. Oh, Kelly.
Yeah. And the dress, well, whatever. I'm sure everyone remembers it, and you will see. It's the most 91 that ever 91'd. It's hideous.
It was every other page in the April issue of 17 that year, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And the set in this scene also, again, we were complaining about the Fred Siegel set a couple of days ago. This looks like they're supposed to be on Rodeo Drive, and so they're in some kind of shishi, but it looks like a crappy bridal salon. Like, why are you even looking at prom dresses there? Of course everything is tacky.
And it does look like a lot of Mother of the Bride, like Madeline Albright,
mm-hmm,
for, you know, evening. Ooh, no.
Meanwhile, while they're having this fight over the dress, Donna comes out starting a tradition of Donna wearing completely inappropriate dresses to big events. This one has a gigantic hoop skirt. It's red, which actually looks good on her, but it's way too much. It's got all ruffles on the front, too. It's a lot. So we're only 13 minutes and 42 seconds into the episode when everyone goes to the dance. So that should tell you how little lead up there is. Donna, of course, can't get out of the limo in her dress. Steve has a flask and has already been pre-gaming. Kelly comes in, pecks Brandon on the cheek. Steve sees this and looks constipated. Vegetable corsages are hot, we are told.
Yep. So goes great with a delicious cumin. That's handy.
Yes. You can look at the visual aids for the radish corsage that Kelly bought for Brandon. And then Cindy comes out and her face falls spectacularly when she gets an eyeful of Kelly. And we can hear what she says in clip number 8.
Wow. Just look at all of you. Everyone looks like...
But Cindy, you should
comedy
not
tonight.
Put down the meth. Oh my god.
Oh my god, way too much.
Yeah. So then Brenda comes down. She and Kelly see each other, of course. It's an ugly scene, and we hear them go to the kitchen and hissily fight about it in clip number 9.
You said you hated it. You called it cheap and tacky.
You said you weren't going to buy it.
Well, I changed my mind.
Well, you'll just have to go change.
No, you're going to have to go change.
Brenda, I am a spring princess. Kelly, I don't give a damn. Do you know how important this is to me?
Well, maybe you've made it too important.
Maybe you are just jealous. You do know what this is going to look like, don't you?
What?
Like we planned this.
Like we planned to go as the Bobbsey twins.
Hey, girls.
Hi, Dad.
What's all the fuss about? Hey, come on. You both look gorgeous. Hey, come on. Let's have a little smile, huh? Come on. All right. Oh, wait till you see this picture. You look just like the Bobbsey twins.
Excuse me.
We have a complete tell, don't show situation, by the way, in this clip when Brenda is like, you've made it too important about her spring princess nomination. We have seen 0% of that. Like, nothing.
Yeah, thank you. I also had that in my notes that it was like, she hasn't been obnoxious about it at all. Like, she invited Brandon and offered to pay for everything for that reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I think that must have gotten left on the cutting room floor,
I guess. And in Brenda's defense, I mean, we just heard the clip. Kelly said in no uncertain terms, I wouldn't wear it. So we also don't understand why she reversed herself on the dress. Like, she told Brenda to get it. Presumably they were together when Brenda bought it. So then what happened? Really weird storytelling. It would have made more sense if they had each found them independently, but whatever.
Well, and like the time that we could have spent on Kelly getting a big head about her spring royalty dumb or whatever,
mm-hmm,
was instead spent on David dancing and or interminable Donna comedy with that fucking hoop where she's trying to get in and out of the limo, in and out of the Walsh's house, trying to sit down. Like,
Yeah. They keep recycling that clip of her trying to sit down, by the way, because yeah, she's always
exactly the same.
In front of the same extra who glares at her. And I made sure to get a shot of that, too. It's in the visual yeah. aids. This girl, I don't know who she is. I hope she's still acting because she's brilliant. She does a lot with just her eyes and her complete contempt of Donna. Anyway, there's nothing to be done about it now. So Brenda and Kelly come out, and Dylan is very complimentary in clip number 10.
You look incredible.
Thank you.
And I can't tell you what else I'm thinking because your parents are in the room.
Well, at least he remembered this time that they're there for once.
Yeah.
But he also has a very nice reaction, like a nonverbal reaction before he actually speaks to her. That's really cute and endearing, I thought. And you can judge for yourself because I made a GIF. Meanwhile.
Well, if he's hoping to get it in, then he needs to come to play. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm saying that he did. It worked on me and I wasn't even there. Okay, moving on. Andrea is home. She's watching Prom Nightmare and eating ice cream, which I was thinking as I was watching it, that definitely seems like the better night. And then I realized, oh, that's why my life is this now. Just watching TV at home alone eating ice cream is what I do. Back to the
band. I'm not seeing a problem still?
No, there is none. So Steve, they all pull up to the dance. Steve makes a pretending to barf noise in the limo, which I'm not sure why that's funny, but he seems like he's already drunk by the time he gets there. But Kelly has taken the time in the limo to come up with a great idea to solve her problem with Brenda in clip 11.
Brenda, I have a great idea. Why don't you and I stay on different sides of the room? That way nobody has to see it. Kelly, at this point, I'm sorry that we can't stay on opposite sides of the stage.
I'm talking about what? Brenda and Kelly are at their Brenda-ist and Kelly-ist in this episode, and I am here for it so much. But anyway, Dylan has a way to calm Brenda down, he hopes, in clip number 12.
Hey, wait a second, relax.
It's like she thinks it's her night or something.
Well, it's not. Bren, this is your night. Actually, it's our night.
I don't get
271. Won't anybody notice that we're gone?
We'll make our appearance and then we'll make our disappearance. And you won't have to worry about your clothes for a while.
I don't get it.
They're gonna swim in.
Here's what I love about all of this. Like, the way that Brenda expresses confusion about certain things, and she's like, room 271? Like, did you agree on room 272 and you changed it? Is there some special significant? And then, what's the other? Oh, yeah, she's like, won't anyone notice we're gone? It's like, who cares? That's right. Why they put locks on the door?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I thought her reaction was indicative of, oh, we're on the second floor. Like, you couldn't get a higher floor. That's so ghetto. But anyway.
That's I like that.
They
good
go
recon.
They go inside. Kelly tries to get Brandon to dance, but as we all know, Brandon doesn't dance. So Brenda and Dylan push through and they go dance. Donna asks if Steve wants to dance. He says maybe later. Then we see that David and Dead Scott are both there with dates. David is slavering over Kelly right next to his own date, so I guess they truly did go as friends. And he bets Scott that he and Kelly are going to dance before the night is over. Meanwhile, back on the dance floor, negotiations have begun in clip number 13.
What do you say, 15 more minutes and we make our exit?
Dylan, I'm a little nervous.
Bren, don't be. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah, well, that's what you keep on saying. Look, it's just that we've been building it up for so long. And it's not that I'm not ready. Believe me, I am.
What are you trying to say?
Somehow you'll be disappointed.
Brad, we're not going to be judging each other up there. We're going to be enjoying each other.
I haven't used that line before.
I hope not.
Brad, you're not just another notch on my belt. If that's what this was about, I would have had you up there months ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really. Fuck
so
off.
What is this all about?
Don't you know? I love you.
Okay, I admit the enjoying our each other line does really, it knocks a little bit of my Dylan crush down a few pegs. It's because that's gross. And when she says, also I bet you've used that line before, like, I hope not, because it should be better if he did.
Oh, Jesus. Like, what is it, the 70s? And really? Like, if all I wanted to do was bone you, I'd have done it already. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You and what posse, praying mantis?
First. Anyway, I hope you like that song, because it's also the last song of the night. This band showed up with their repertoire of 3.5 songs, and you're going to hear all of them. Elsewhere on the dance floor, Kelly has managed to get Brandon out there because it's a slow song. We see, and I just want to give a shout out to our contributor, Stephanie Cangrove, as I note that Kelly has nude nails, which would never fly in 2015. Why even bother?
Yeah, really.
But she has a confession to make to Brandon in clip 14.
I've thought you were cute since the first day you moved here.
I'd say that's mutual.
So what's been stopping us?
Well, not that I haven't given it a thought or two, but number one, you are one of my best friend's ex-girlfriend.
Emphasis on the ex.
And you're Brenda's best friend.
Well, Dylan is your best friend. That hasn't stopped him, has it?
True.
And number three?
No, I thought there was a third reason, but I just can't remember it right now.
Sounds like two not very good reasons to me.
So then they kiss. Steve watches like a creep. And no sooner have they stopped kissing than Brandon basically punctures all of everything that just happened in clip 15.
Kelly, I don't know.
What?
Something just doesn't feel right.
Well, it feels right to me.
Digging into my leg.
I want you to take this the wrong way. I mean, I think you're very beautiful, but...
Brandon, don't you think we make a great couple?
I guess I don't. It's like I know you too well or something.
What if we were complete strangers?
I'd probably be in love with you.
Can't you fake amnesia or something?
I don't know, it just it feels like you're another sister.
That is probably the ugliest thing any guy's ever said to me.
I love Jenny Garth's delivery on that line. It's so rueful. It's just like, she's not even mad. It's
really
like,
good.
Fuck you. It's so funny. Anyway, that's when Steve breaks in, starts shit-talking Kelly, and then stomps off before complaining that, or after complaining that they aren't all going as friends, as Brandon has said. And so Brandon has to go and trail him into the bowels of the hotel so we can learn all about Steve's private pain in clip 16.
Oh, boring.
6 months ago, I'm out to dinner with my mother, and she has a little bit too much to drink. She starts talking about the past, things that happened 20 years ago. Forget it. No, come on, Steve, what is it? She and my dad have been trying to have kids for a long time, but they just couldn't make it happen. So my mom goes to some doctor who tells her that she could never have kids. Yeah?
Some doctor.
And decided to adopt a child. They adopted me. Oh, man. Only my mom waits close to 17 years before she tells me about it. What did she think? I'd be better off if I didn't know? Well, what did you say to her when she told you? What can I say? She's mom. She's the only mother I've ever known. And I know that even though she might not be perfect, she loves me. I just can't believe she's lied to me my entire life. Yeah, but Steve, it worked out. Look at you, you're a great guy. You got a great life. Try not to think about it. who my biological parents are, stuff like that. Who cares? It doesn't matter anymore. Just now my birthday's coming out, I have a little trouble dealing with it.
But you got a lot of friends who really care about you, man.
Please. The only friend I ever told about this was Kelly. And she's so into her own trip tonight, she probably forgot all about me. What is the sense of confiding in somebody if someday they're just going to blow you off?
Yeah. I love how he says, she's the only mother I've ever known. She loves me. Like, he's waiting for Brandon to be like,
oh, I know.
She totally does. Anyway.
Yeah, cares? You have to wonder if, like, the episode director was like, 4 pages of him trying to cry. Okay. And then, like, they finally got this take, and Ziering is so Jersey with the parents, that, like, just little Jersey. Like, I love it, because it's like, hey,
yeah,
homeland.
Yeah.
But, like, he's asked to get sniffly a lot in this first season, and it's really, like, the effort is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely there. But it's not nuanced or terribly convincing. And, you know, you've had 48 years to get used to this idea, so you've tried to get a grip.
Meanwhile, anyway. So that, speaking of Kelly's own trip tonight, outside, she, of course, gets named Spring Queen. There's a whole bunch of stuff that makes no sense. First of all, David is the one who announces it. Second of all, he says she gets to choose her own king, and then he brings her an envelope that she opens with some guy's name in it. So do they vote on that person or not? She obviously didn't pick him, or she would have picked Brandon. I don't get it. Doesn't matter.
We didn't see any of the voting
at
either.
All. No,
like,
it's
we have
true.
No idea. Whatever. Who cares?
I know. I don't know why I care. So then David announces there's a dance contest. The winners get a gift certificate to Le Pizza in Beverly Hills. And the last dance of the night with the Spring Queen and King, I assume, heteronormatively. But it's hard to focus on any of that when we are up in room 271 with Dylan and Brenda in clip 17. The Spread Eagle!
Dylan, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it.
Do you know why I'm so lucky?
Why?
How many girls get to have sex for the first time with someone they love?
I don't know. I've never really taken an opinion poll.
She's about to take an opinion poll, am I right? Yeah! Woo! Just high-fived my own broken hand. Done that one.
That's how she broke it, ladies and gentlemen. Can we talk about the fact that this room is so fugazi and hideous? Like,
yeah. Yeah, this is supposed to be a nice hotel. It's a real tacky room. It's like
it
not
looks
even
like an SRO.
Yeah, it's not even Holiday Inn caliber niceness. It's like Motel 6, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Super 8. So then they bone. And then we cut back to Andrea at her house at the violent climax of her prom movie, and then has a fantasy about it herself, which we'll hear in clip 18.
For God's sake, put down that chainsaw!
You should.
I actually think everyone is really funny in that clip. Is that crazy?
Yeah, kind
it's
of.
Crazy. I love Dylan's take on I love ya. He's just trying to get out of the way of the chainsaw. I don't know.
This is one of several fantasy sequences where poor Carteris is like frumped up to Jesus and having an anxiety dream in which she looks even frumpier than she does in life. Although when she wakes up,
yeah.
And decides that she's going to give the dance a shot and asks to borrow her mom's evening gown, singular,
uh-huh.
And emerges from the cab.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll get there.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's no, really there's not. It's in the visual aids. Why her parents couldn't even be bothered to drive her, like, oh yeah, good luck. Like, anyway, I don't know. It's not that far from the valley. Moving on. David is throwing down on the dance floor. Donna still can't sit in her dress. Take that as red, lather, rinse, repeat. Brandon finally comes and finds Kelly on her throne and tells her that she should maybe go talk to Steve. And she's like, not really. And he's like, it's his birthday. And then she's like, oh, fuck. So she gets up to go. And then she tells Brad Phillips, the king, don't let anybody sit here, which I love. Like, someone's going to try to steal it. So funny. Anyway,
like, Dead Scott is just going to roll up there and be like, do you mind? My dogs are barking.
So anyway, Kelly goes, and then it's her turn to find Steve in the bowels of the hotel, which is not hard because he hasn't really gone very far, and we hear them have it out in clip 19.
Well, look, I don't need your sympathy. I just don't understand why we can't be friends. I confided in you, Kelly. I told you things I haven't told anybody.
I know. Like I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, sorry doesn't make it okay. This whole week, all you could think about was yourself. This stupid dance, ridiculous contest. You know, it's a good thing they're not judging loyalty or character, because let me tell you something. You'd have lost by a landslide.
I don't have to stand here and take this. And who are you to lecture me on character? You are generally one of the most thoughtless and spoiled people I have ever known.
Well, surprise. We have a lot in common. You're the only one I know who's as defective as I am.
I am not defective, Steve.
Oh, yeah? Your mom spends half her life in detox, the other half her life unconscious.
Shut up.
And I've never even met the man who you claim is your father, although I suppose it doesn't matter too much as long as the checks keep coming in on time.
Why are you trying to ruin my night?
I'm not trying to ruin your night. Just get so angry when all you had to do was say one word. Just one word to let me know you cared about me.
I do care about you, Steve. I said I'm sorry. I don't know what else I can do.
I don't know. I'm sorry, too. I don't know why I said these things.
Because deep inside, you're just a jerk. That's why.
Oh, yeah. That's probably it.
Sure. Okay. Although, I have to say, Jenny Garth is pretty good in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. She is good. I like their relationship with how they keep sort of having to take its temperature, because they're, you know, he does still really like her. At this point, I feel like they were trying to set up a lot of one true pairings. We'll hear it later with Andrea and Brandon too, of course, but like I always feel like they were supposed to hook something up again with Jenny, with Kelly and Steve. Not that they
did. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? It was early days. David is still throwing down on the dance floor. I made a gif of him.
Can I make a note about
please.
This?
Yes, yes.
And maybe you noticed this too, and it's good that you mentioned the visual aids, because he's lit really terribly. Like, I feel like this was something that, like, they knew that Brian Austin Green could do.
Yeah.
They made room for it a number of times. It was so precious to me, obviously, in later times. But he's, like, bugging out on the dance floor. Like, it's very 90s and dated, and he's wearing some ridiculous Western spangly collared thing. But, I mean, he does have some moves.
Oh, yeah. He's a good dancer, for sure.
But he's lit like shit. Like, if you're going to make space for this in the episode, which they did for a week... Light it properly so we can actually see what the kid is doing. It was very weird. It's weird to me.
The other weird thing about this, and I made a gif of it, of him close up, is that they put him in addition to that stupid shirt, he's wearing a bolo tie. And so he keeps having to put his hand on his chest. I assume because he's dancing so acrobatically that the little metal things at the end of his bolo tie would keep like hitting him in the face. So he's holding them down to his chest. It's so weird. Please, like, go look at the visual aids. It is important. Yeah, take it off. Is. Be like a lady on Hollywood Game Night. Take off your heels. Take off your bolo tie.
Yep. Get down.
So, as previously mentioned, Andrea finally shows up in sleeves puffed to Jesus, and Shirley would be proud. It's white. It's lace.
Yeah.
It's a column dress with puffed sleeves. It looks like maybe Aaron Spelling got it out of the Dynasty wardrobe closet, because
Yeah.
This could get, I mean, I know it's supposed to be her mom's dress, but even so, her mom is like in her 50s, not her 70s, and she's not Crystal Carrington.
And she also did not put on any more makeup, did not put her hair up, did not take her glasses off.
Mm-hmm. Probably still has chocolate ice cream in the corners of her mouth.
Probably.
She goes in, she spots Brandon, and she smiles. She's happy to see him. He is happy to see her, too, and actually gives her a compliment in clip 20.
Anybody tell you you look absolutely gorgeous this evening?
Nobody that matters.
Okay.
Also, nobody. Because, no.
Yeah, not your parents, who I assume said something nice as you were going out the door to the cab they called you rather than drive you themselves. Whatever. If you can fucking believe it, the dance contest is still going on, and I got a picture of Andrea and Brandon standing side by side watching it like they're watching a fucking tennis match. Like, they are so studious and serious about it. Like, it's a dance contest. It's not a spelling bee.
To whom
we
give our applause? PricewaterhouseCoopers, guide me, please.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, and we also at some point in this went upstairs to check in with Brenda and Dylan, and that's clip 21.
Brenda, you're glowing.
Yeah, well, you have a goofy grin all over your face, and you better wipe it off, otherwise people will talk.
So let them.
She starts straightening
up the
bed.
You don't have to do that.
What will the maid think?
They will think the two people had a very, very good time here tonight.
That second fairy. Why did he have to say it like that? Ew.
Also, I mean...
I mean, one of them probably had a good time. And one of them probably had...
whose first time was not somewhat painful and awkward, but... Dylan probably had a pretty good time, and Brenda's just glad it's over with.
Yes.
Yeah, projecting.
One and a half
people. It's
been
a very long time.
1.5 people had a very good time, if you average it
out. 2 minutes in heaven.
So Brenda comes downstairs, and that's when she finally finds out that Kelly won Spring Queen. Kelly's like, oh yeah, where were you? And then it's obvious. She figures it out. Everyone's happy because everyone had sex. Brenda and Dylan department. Forever later, David finally wins the dance contest with his partner, who we never really get a good shot of her face or find out what her name is.
And we never see her again.
Of course, we never see her again. Yes, that goes without saying. And we never see her again. And then that means that he gets to dance with Kelly. Of course, it's the same song that was playing, as I mentioned, when Kelly was confessing her crush on Brandon and when Brenda and Dylan were sex-gotiating. Then Brandon finally asks Aunt Andrea to dance and makes her life. Andrea asks Brandon if he thinks that she's a geek for coming to the dance by herself. He says, no, we never get to slow dance in the newsroom. And then she puts her head on his chest and has 17 orgasms simultaneously. Finally, Steve goes to save Kelly from David to apologize. And we hear that in clip 22.
Despite all the things we've gone through, all the fights, all the stupid things we've ever said to each other, I still love you, Kelly. And I don't care what you say, because I know deep down inside you love me too.
Maybe. But not the way you...
There's lots of different ways of loving someone.
Then I guess in my own way, I love you too, Steve. Happy birthday.
Could I get another one right here? Below the spot.
Yeah. Then Kelly notices Donna standing forlornly, if I may steal your word for Manny from the last episode. Asks if he's even asked her to dance one time yet. He has not. This is the last dance of the night, by the way. So he goes over to ask her to dance. She apologizes for wearing such a stupid dress in those words, yet does not ever learn a lesson from it and continues doing it over and over and over again because comedy question mark. Then everyone ends up finding each other on the dance floor. Kelly tells Andrea she looks gorgeous and patronizingly gives her her tiara, and then Dylan rolls up, and this is how we end the episode in clip 23.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Nothing as wild as what was going on upstairs.
What was going on upstairs anyway?
What are you guys talking about? We were down here dancing the whole time.
Oh, of course. Is it just me, or was tonight one of the strangest nights of all time?
Definitely one of the strangest nights.
Definitely. 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 Definitely.
Can I say, spring is in the air.
What? Now let's get out of this gas-filled hallway before we all suffocate. It's just like, what? Spring's okay. What I mean, it's in the air for you two because you fucked, but this doesn't really apply to anybody else. So what?
Well, and why is someone always saying, what can I say on the show? Like, yeah. What can I say means a certain thing that doesn't go with spring is in the air. Shut up, Dylan. But, I mean, they had actually gotten better about ending the episodes, even though it was kind of like this police squad, na-na-na-na-na-na, freeze frame type of shit. At least they sort of ended, and this is sort of a regression.
Agree.
Back to.
Mm-hmm. And it also ends with them all doing an obnoxious, like, collective group dance in the middle of the dance floor with David, the rightful prize that he won for dancing through what seemed like 17 songs in a row, completely out the window. Fuck David, I guess. And you kind of start to get the idea that, like, everyone else at the school must have hated this group of people so much. So very, very much. And that's the episode. Shall we conclude by naming the most valuable players? Who is your choice?
Gosh. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to agree with me, but I'm going to go with Dead Scott. Here's why.
I'm listening.
He did not clog up the episode with any dancing or hoop skirts or any of that. He just put on his tuxedo and came to the dance. And there's this one shot. I clipped it, but I didn't end up putting it in the visual aids because this was like the only reason for it. But Douglas Emerson looks fucking hot in the shot.
It's so true. He does. He doesn't look bad.
Very nice.
Yep.
He ended up quitting acting, this guy, and going into the Air Force, I believe. And I sort of like just took a moment, not in my bunk, just took a moment to regard this photo and be like, huh, that must have looked all the hot in uniform.
Yeah.
Well done, Douglas Emerson. Mm. Thank you for having a purpose before you shoot yourself in the stomach. Spoiler, who is yours?
I mean, I got to give it to Dylan. He got the job done. I'm sorry that he's so gross about it, but it was 21 episodes in the making, as it were. And yeah, and for setting me up with that opinion poll line, which I seriously thought of on Sunday night, and I've been sitting on it since then, so excited to bust out such a dumb joke. Don't care. Super proud of myself. No regrets. Thank you, Dylan. Least valuable player.
Oh.
Ian Ziering's acting coach?
Samantha Sanders.
Oh,
I don't know who to pick for this. I feel like the episode as originally cut, like the first edit, which was 105 minutes long, Kelly was the LVP. But yeah, I don't know.
Samantha Sanders is a
whoever
good choice.
Whoever Dylan
that's
learned
not
his
to...
like.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say Samantha Sanders is a good choice. That's not how you tell your son after almost 17 years that he's adopted, like getting boozy at dinner. Not okay.
Yeah, no, really not.
And the Kim challenge.
Bad, and dangerous to know.
Five ways from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. I'll start. He lets Brenda in the room and they start going at it before he's even closed the door. So he might get you walked in on because he's so sloppy / eager.
Yep. He also might get your hotel room robbed because he apparently got them a room in an like hourly motor court right near the Lincoln Tunnel.
He might give you AIDS because we never did find out if he got tested before they actually did it.
True. He could get you sucked through a time portal back to the 70s where he learns his romantical patter.
And slight spoiler alert for the next episode. There are other ways he could get you in trouble as well. Wink.
And we never saw it again. That's another episode of Again With This, folks. Next time, Jim's job once again ruins everyone's lives, City Product places local produce, and Sarah D. Bunting kills herself all the times. You can find me on Twitter at Tomato Nation. You can find previously.tv, where I just said, and also on Twitter at previously.tv. My esteemed colleagues Dave and Tara are at Clark and at Tara Ariano, and we hope that we'll hear from you next time.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!